Why should those concerned about local government financial meltdown be paying much more attention to the UK's Public Works Loan Board?
What does it do and why is it important? I'm Mike Spicer.
And I'm David Marlowe, and you're listening to LED Confidential, the podcast that lifts the lid on those intractable, enduring challenges facing those of us working in and on LED and placemaking today.
Welcome to a new type of LED Confidential episode. For the next couple of months, we're trying something new, delivering our monthly current affairs roundups in short, sharp, single-issue episodes, perhaps two or three each month. We're calling them our LEDC espresso shots because, well, what goes better with that caffeine buzz than the stimulation of a sharp insight into a key issue facing us in local economic development? And speaking of sharp insights, who better to take us into our first espresso shot than my co-host, David Marlowe?
Look, I'd like to start with a topic that really does trouble me and is incredibly important to all of us involved in LED and placemaking, and that's the parlous state of local government finance. I mean, barely, literally a day goes by without one or another council sending up a warning shot of imminent bankruptcy. And as we know, I think we've now got seven councils that have recently issued Section 114 notices, which actually sets in train a whole range of interventions, both locally and nationally, and which we've spoken about from time to time during 2023. And actually, it was just this morning, we're recording this on February the 1st, that the Department for Levelling Up Housing and Communities Select Committee reported in their own analysis that town halls require an extra £4 billion this year, or next year, I think it is, to avoid many, many more bankruptcies. And a lot has been said about why councils now are going into this really parlous state financially, and it ranges from local financial mismanagement concerns to the enduring reductions in government grant, to lack of financial devolution, autonomy and flexibilities, and many other rationales. And I think for me, most of these rationales do have a logic and are a contributory factor, but they lack specificity. But one key dimension of local authority financing, in my opinion, that has absolute specificity and needs to move much further up the agenda is the role of the Public Works Loan Board, or PWLB, as the acronym calls it. And I know you want me to lead on this, Mike, because I have done a fair amount of work on it. And I do believe that the question that we started the episode with needs a proper answer. But would you like to start us off just by giving listeners a sense of what PWLB actually is, what it does, and what sort of profile it has for us in the sector?
It's a fascinating organisation because I think I might be assuming too much here, David, but I'm going to wager that there will be many people listening to this who perhaps only have a dim awareness of this organisation, or perhaps have heard of it but don't really know what it does or has, you know, or the scope of its activities. But it's possible that this could actually be the oldest existing organization engaged in economic development funding in the entire British state. So it was, according to my research, it was established in the 1700s, in the late 1700s, and has gone through a number of evolutions since then. But essentially, for much of the post-war period, it operated on a commissioner model, and where you had a smallish number of unpaid volunteer commissioners overseeing the activity. And that's changed recently with those functions going into the Treasury and the Debt Management Office. But just on its background and what it does. So it was originally set up as the public organisation that bankrolled a lot of the infrastructure that we associate with the Industrial Revolution. So canals, railways, harbours, things like that. Basically, local interventions of national significance. That's what its role kind of originally was. And in the post-war period, it's kind of evolved into focusing more on the funding of what we might call social infrastructure, so schools, medical facilities, things of that nature. And the scope of its activities is broad, but the scale of its activities, I think it surprised me actually when I looked into, as I know it did you, David. But just to put some numbers into the mix here before we get on to what it's been up to recently. In 2022-23, it advanced around 500 loans worth $8 billion to local authorities. And as of today, it holds loan assets of around £100 billion. So it's an enormous player on any metric in UK economic development. And the way that local government engages with it essentially is it submits applications for loans. Those now go through the Debt Management Office, have done since 2020 when the commissioner's model was retired. The DMO manages the day-to-day operations of the office, so assesses credit worthiness, which I know we'll come on to shortly, David, manages loan agreements, with the Treasury setting the strategy for the organisation, the interest rates, lending policy, and so on. So that in short order is what it is, what it does, where it's come from. But David, you've spent far more time than I have looking at it, at what it does and how it's interacted with individual local authorities. Tell us a bit more about why you're concerned that not enough attention has been paid to what it's doing, and the role it has played in the current financial mess that local government finds itself in.
Well, look, I think you gave a great overview of what PWLB does. And I suppose one of my big concerns or one of my big observations is that it is so much part of the fabric of local government capital financial management, but it doesn't actually lend against a very robust project management and appraisal system. So as far as I can tell, you know, local councils actually fill in really what is a very, very simple application form, certainly compared to any form that you would have to go to get government grant for levelling up fund, or the way that you used to have to go to a European Investment Bank, or indeed now UK Infrastructure Bank. There's no real development appraisal of the propositions that local authorities put to the PWLB, and basically PWLB extends money to local authorities basically against what is effectively some sort of sovereign debt guarantee that, you know, they are the Treasury and these are public bodies, and at the end of the day, if they can't repay, government will step in. And that has led to some really, really bizarre and what I have characterized as reckless lending. So I did an analysis with colleagues from CURDS, including our previous guest, Andy Pike, late last year, of what was at the time the six Section 114 councils and their public works loan boards' outstanding loans. And to give you one unbelievable, because it really is an unbelievable example, Woking Borough Council issued a Section 114 notice, so it was effectively bankrupt. But at the time it issued the notice, it had something like 150 loans outstanding with the Public Works Loan Boards. It had at one stage debts of over £2.1 billion just to the Public Works Loan Board as a lender. This is a council that has a core spending power of £15 million a year, being given effectively £2.1 billion by Treasury. Now, I know there's lots of issues about what on earth Woking did with that £2.1 billion, and that's a legitimate question for which the politicians and the officers at Woking need to be held accountable. But surely, and this is what we argued when we did our investigation last year, surely somebody at the Treasury, i.e. the Public Works Loan Boards, has to explain why they thought when Woking came for its 150th loan and said, you know, that now takes our portfolio over 2 billion quid, why nobody said, what on earth is going on? And why on earth that money was extended? And perhaps provocatively, we characterize that as reckless lending. And should the reckless lender then have the right to go into the authority, appoint commissioners, sell off its assets, reduce its services, make its staff redundant, when actually it has a case to answer as being part of the incubation of the financial crisis in the first place? And I could go on and on about this. I won't. But all I will do, probably almost as a roundup to this item, is say, one, we need to look at public works loan boards much more critically, and some sort of radical surgery needs to be part of the solution to the future of local government financing. And two, when councils go into Section 114, where the public works loan board liabilities far exceed the risks to the council of bankruptcy, they need to be part of the solution alongside the service cuts, alongside the staff redundancies, and alongside the sale of what are often prize city centre assets, which will affect the legacy of these places for a generation. That's my sort of espresso shot summary of the situation. We've got to look at this more critically.
It looks like a great candidate for a guest episode. I'm not sure who our guest would be.
The Chancellor.
The Chancellor. Somebody who can give us answers about what on earth is going on. And I'll leave my parting comment as, you know, some of the things that you talked about there, David, are almost reminiscent of the financial crisis. You know, we know that the loans board provides loans at sub-commercial rates for very long periods of, you know, maturity, up to 50 years, I think, in some cases, for loans. And of course, when you offer extend credit and on favorable terms like that against, you know, potentially dodgy collateral, bad things often happen, don't they? We've seen that time and again. So it'd be great to cover that in more detail. But look, for our listeners, I hope you enjoyed our quick look at the Public Works Loan Board today. As you know, we always welcome feedback, and we'd love to continue the discussions offline with you and also get your ideas and suggestions for future episodes, topics, and guests. But particularly this month, as we experiment with these espresso shots, rather than 2023's multi-topic current affairs episode. So please tell us what you think of those. Do you prefer the focus and rapid duration of a single topic chat? Or did you enjoy our leisurely reviews of the month as a whole? Do check us out on our website, ledconfidential.co.uk. Until the next time.